Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday evening. Actually, it might be Friday morning now.
It's Friday morning in the Eastern time zone where we do the pod, time-wise.
That's Tim Bontemps joining us from New York City. He was in Philadelphia today. Are you going to reveal why you were in Philly today, even though there wasn't a game, or are you keeping that secret?
There'll be something on TV on Christmas. That's why I was in Philly today.
I thought it was on TV tomorrow, like on Friday.
Well, it'll be on TV a lot of days, but it's going to be on Christmas.
What are you doing? Interviewing all those Santa Clauses in Philly who throw batteries at people?
Maybe.
Wasn't there a story about Santa Claus went to jail in Philly or something, or they booed Santa Claus in Philly? That's what it was.
That's right. Something like that.
There's many such stories in Philly.
Joining us from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, where he watched the Timberwolves defeat the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night, is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. How you doing? Got a flight in a few hours to go hear what John Morant has to say as his suspension is nearing its end. So let's get to business.
All right. Geez. Now when it comes to his sleep, he's all fired up, right? Is that all of a sudden when it's affecting him?
Interesting how that works.
I can't roll like you guys do. I got to get a decent amount of sleep.
I know, and I appreciate it. And when Bontemps and I were at the Vegas airport on Sunday at 4:30 in the morning and you were sleeping, you were definitely ahead. All right. You were in the Wolves locker room post game, and I believe you talked to Rudy Gobert. You got a chance to talk to him about the outcome, you know, how he thought about the Draymond Green indefinite suspension. What was that conversation like?
Yeah, and he wasn't really eager to talk about it. Certainly,
really?
He was much more eager he was certainly much more eager to talk about how well the Wolves are playing. Big win tonight. We can get to you know the Wolves, the number one seed in the West, a little bit later on. But you know, as far as Draymond goes, I said, hey, you know, like obviously people want to know what Gobert has to say about it. The last Draymond incident was him putting Gobert in a chokehold and getting suspended 5 games. And now you've got this situation with Nurkic and it's indefinite. And I'll just read the quote. Rudy said, "I have empathy for him. You see somebody that's not well inside and suffering. You take away the game and all that." You take away the game and all that, and you want somebody to be well and be able to do what we do every night and compete and be happy. I asked him if he thought the indefinite suspension was fair. He says, "I'm not sure what that really means, so it's hard to tell. I mean, you don't want someone to get badly hurt. You've got to fix that. That's it." So, look, Rudy and Draymond are not going to be on each other's Christmas list now or ever. Obviously, there is a lot of history between them. Rudy's been the subject of many barbs from Draymond and one chokehold. But he says he feels sorry for the guy, and none of us know what is going on with Draymond in terms of like, what are the deeper roots of these outbursts of violence. Hopefully he's able to figure that out. But I mean, the whole situation, it's a shame. It's a bad look for Draymond. It's something that can tarnish the guy's legacy, and it's not sustainable for the Warriors, who have a long list of problems without one of their core players constantly getting himself suspended and at a certain point putting his career in jeopardy.
Yeah, I think one of the things that kind of came out with the players who talked about it in the wake of it was that, you know, look, no matter what you think about the guy, no matter what you think about how he, what he talks about and how he behaves and whatever, you don't want to get kicked in the nuts. You don't want to get choked, and you don't want to all of a sudden be playing defense and then the guy whips around and clocks you in the side of the head. Like, they don't want that. And so, like, the thing about all of those incidents is they kind of came out of nowhere. So much less just, you know, the general stuff that he does. So
you don't want to get punched in the face at practice if you're his teammate.
You don't want to get stepped on, you know. I mean, I don't think the Sabonis thing was as
It's the same thing.
I just remember that, like, that night they were like, Sabonis is getting
X-rayed. What did people do then? They made excuses. People have made excuses for this guy for a decade.
No one's making excuses now.
It's taken a decade of ridiculous acts and behaviors We've been doing, we spent, we all covered the 2016 playoffs. We spent days adjudicating this guy's ridiculous actions during that playoffs, from body slamming Michael Beasley in the first round to getting suspended for hitting LeBron James in the groin in game four in a situation that was just no need to do that ever. People tried to say he shouldn't have been suspended for a playoff game for a ridiculous curb stomp of a guy last spring for no reason at all. People mm-hmm. tried to defend him for this ridiculous action with Rudy Gobert 3 weeks ago. I mean, it took until this point when he did something that was completely inexplicable, 5 games after he came back from a suspension for nearly choking Rudy Gobert out, for everybody to finally go, oh man, it's time to readjust our expectations of what is a proper thing for Draymond Green to do. I was watching the game live the other day when he did that. Yeah. They're like, he kind of gets touched on the hip by Deuce Verkic. It was a foul. For the response to be to turn around and punch him in the head is an insane thing to do.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, my wife, Kelly, saw it the next morning and said, this guy looks like he doesn't want to play, which, you know, to me sums up what everybody is now saying from the league to the union to the Warriors themselves, which is this guy has to figure out what's going on.
Yeah,
because this is just not the way you can function and act in the NBA. If you're going to play in the NBA, you just cannot do this stuff.
Well, it seems like there's finally, at least behind the scenes, some acknowledgement from him that that is the simple fact of the matter. He has to figure out.
Let's see if that actually is the case, or that's if it's fine. Everyone saying that's the case.
Well, the fact that I was very curious. So you hear indefinite suspension, and I was very curious to see if the union would challenge that. I mean, they even challenged Jaws' 25-game suspension because of the language in there, whatever conditions, vague conditions were supposed to be met. And especially the fact that it is Andre Iguodala, his former teammate, that is the head honcho at the union now, the interim head honcho, whatever the official title is, and the unions, there's been an acknowledgement of, hey, this, you know, their silence is deafening on this. And it's not only, but you know, if you're the union, obviously you represent Draymond Green, but you also represent Yusuf Nurkic, and you also represent Rudy Gobert, and you represent Jordan Poole and Domantas Sabonis. And like, I mean, Rudy's not lying or exaggerating when you say, like, you worry about somebody really getting hurt. Jordan Poole, like, dude, that could have been a disastrous injury. That could have been Rudy Tomjanovich level damage. I mean, and he went after Gobert. Like, there was a clear intent to inflict some serious pain and damage there. You know the history, but like the fact that he held that chokehold as long as he did, extremely dangerous. Honestly, this one with Nurkic, it wasn't a closed fist by the end. He did open up. This was like the least egregious of them. You know, even the, it was not just a stomp on Sabonis, but like he like launched off of him. I mean, at some point, somebody is going to really get hurt if these things continue. So they've got to, Draymond has to figure out with some help what the hell's going on and how to stop it. But, you know, after he didn't help matters after the Gobert thing, when he basically not only did not express any regret, but kind of was justifying it and proud of himself when he came back from the suspension.
Well, just so really quick, just going to read. I just have it up here. So Ramona has this story. She talked to Draymond Green. This is a quote from like 4 days ago after mm-hmm. the fourth game he played. So 2 games before he punches Yusuf Nurkic. To Ramona, quote, "You don't become what I've become if you can't control your emotions. You don't win 4 championships if you can't control your emotions. What I love most is the opportunity to prove myself again. That's how I come out of this. Like, oh, they're doubting you again. They're questioning you again. They're questioning your integrity. As someone who has had to prove myself my whole life, it's familiar territory." That does not sound like somebody who thinks he did anything wrong. And 2 days later, he does this. So to your point about, I think everybody else is saying, hey, man, it's time to figure some things out. This guy actually does something about
it. His first day back from the suspension, he said, I don't live my life with regrets.
Right.
So, but that wasn't the quote from Ramona's piece that struck me. The quote from Ramona's piece, especially in the wake of him seeking some sort of outside counsel is when he talked to her about watching the video back of the Gobert choking incident. He said, when I watched it back, I said, damn, I held him much longer than I realized in that moment.
Yeah.
But the reality is, in those moments, you don't know what time is. You don't have a sense of time. And then he talked
or
about
distance because he dragged him halfway across the court.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not a trained mental health specialist, but like when you talk about you don't have a sense of time, that, you know, that's deserves follow up. They also talked about the incident with LeBron in 2016. And he said, I had no clue. You don't have a sense of time during these things. It's spur of the moment. Everything's moving. Everything's going. So those are contradictory statements from what Tim read a second ago, which is I have my control. And then when I'm in these things, I don't actually have a sense of time.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry told Ramona, the conversation we had was like, I worry less about what you did, but more about why and how it happened.
Right.
So those are things that I think are cutting closer to the situation here. But the thing about it is, I wrote a piece for ESPN right after Draymond was suspended. And I was going back and like looking at quotes that he gave in press conferences when the night of incidents in the past, and then what he said when he was suspended and what he said when he came back and what Steve Kerr said. And it was just got very, very, very repetitive to Bontemps' point, which is like, you know,
it's
I wouldn't
years
so
of excuses.
Yeah,
years
I wouldn't
of
always
them.
Say it was excuses, but it was like, you know, platitudes. So, you know, we'll go to our pod, you know, motto, actions over words. So I honestly don't care what anybody
right.
really says. I mean, Steve Kerr said tonight before the game that he felt that Draymond would get through this and he believes he'll be okay on the other side of it. That's a vote of confidence. That's not, you know, but, you know, there was no defensive posture. You know, they were not defending.
Well, listen, a year ago, he punched his teammate in the face. And this spring, they gave him 4 years, $100 million, right? As you famously said a year and a half ago, why did they do that? Because they have failed in their ability to try to extend their window. The three lottery picks they had, James Wiseman is one of the biggest busts of all time. Jonathan Kuminga was one pick ahead of Franz Wagner. Safe to say things would look a lot different if Franz Wagner was on the team. Moses Moody has shown flashes at times. He was two picks ahead of Alperen Şengün. If they had Franz Wagner and Alperen Şengün right now, they could have LaMelo Ball, Franz Wagner,
they
and
said
Alperen
one of
Şengün.
Those guys.
Right. Yeah. They could have all three of them. Like,
but look,
that, things
if,
would
like
look
if you're
a lot
going to crack,
different.
You know, look, this is, you know, you and I have had this exact conversation.
No, no, no.
Offline.
I'm not. The Warriors have had an unbelievable run. I'm not ripping on them. My point is, though, they've needed to rely on Draymond Green, and they still are reliant on Draymond Green. So if you are this reliant on him, you are going to look the other way when he repeatedly does things to put your team in a bad spot because you still need him.
Absolutely. And because they're in a 4-year, $100 million contract, they have no choice but to work through it with
that's
this,
right.
You know, but I will say, just as an aside, not about Draymond, everything that you said about their lottery picks is absolutely true. There's a 2022 banner hanging in the rafters.
Yes, one in spite of that. That's right.
Winning a title means never saying you're sorry. That's my motto. And the other thing,
Draymond's got that down.
Well, you got that right. Look, not quite the proper usage of that, but I guess I have to cop to that.
Well, my point is more that they didn't ever trade those picks because the idea was this was going to be the bridge to the next group, right? And that bridge is not there, so they're still reliant on these guys to an immense degree, and it's given them no wiggle room with this stuff, which is why when this Draymond stuff happened last year, they had to stick with them. It's not a criticism of the Warriors. They've had an unbelievable run. Nobody wins for 25 years other than the Spurs. And they got very lucky multiple times.
Right. Like, they won four titles in 8 years.
Yeah. It's an unbelievable run.
It's probably not going to be 5-10. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, that's all.
But after,
no tears.
After the Gobert thing, I said it and I still believe it. All the Draymond drama has been so worth it because he was an absolutely essential and critical part to four championships.
Of course.
No matter what happens.
That's Draymond the subtext of the $100 million.
Right.
No, that's the subtext of it.
Now, Going forward, will it continue to be worth it as his conduct has deteriorated and so has his performance? That's the problem. He's right now, the past, he was always on the right side of the P/P ratio, the pain in the ass to production ratio. He's on the way on the wrong side of it this season, way on the wrong side of it. And, you know, the conduct and the performance need to improve. But, you know, what you've done in the past only buys you so much patience. And it seems like the league and the Warriors are about out of it.
Well, and let's be honest, too. If the Warriors were 17-7 instead of 10-14, this would all look a lot different, too, right? And there probably would be even more excuses being made. But they're not 17-7. They're 10-13. We'll see if they're 10-14 in a little while. They're playing the Clippers right now.
Yeah, they're in a very tight game in the fourth quarter with the Clippers.
Yeah, they've come back in the second half, so we'll see if they can pull that one out. But, I mean, the reason this is all going on in this manner is they're in 11th place. We talked about them almost a month ago on the pod. And you guys said, look, we're not going to bury him yet. We're not going to put any dirt on him. They were in 10th then. Now they're in 11th. And if they lose tonight, they're as close to Memphis and Portland as they are to the Pelicans and the Suns in 9th and 10th.
Hey, so, I ain't burying him yet, but
me either.
I'm in the aisle at the hardware store looking for a shovel.
I'm not burying him either. It's December.
And if any hardware store wants to sponsor us, I'll shout you out by name.
I'll say the same thing I said then, too. Steph Curry hasn't missed any time yet. And he's played really, really well. And the second he misses any time, which he's not going to play 82 games, they're going to go off a cliff even more than they already are.
I'll be late leaving this party. I'm not going to be early.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket. With Vivid Seat Rewards, score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
All right, so you did get to see the Wolves. The Wolves had a rough loss in New Orleans the other night without Anthony Edwards. He returned Thursday night. The Mavericks, who had just had a nice win over the Lakers without Kyrie Irving, lose by 18 in a game where Anthony Edwards was back, but he was only 3 of 19 from the field. Still not 100%. He did have 11 assists.
He was 3 for 19, and he was plus 20,
which is hard to do
because he was doing a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, and Luka had another pretty awesome performance, 39 and 13. And the Mavs jumped out to a 15-point lead basically right out of the gates. Luka was absolutely lighting the Wolves on fire. In the first quarter, I think Luka ran out of some gas late. I mean, the burden on him right now with Kyrie and half their rotation out is just immense. So he has to be a superhero to give them a chance to beat a team like the Lakers, and he was, or like the Wolves, and he was awfully good but not good enough. But no, for the Wolves to come in here and beat a Mavericks team with Luka playing at this level – convincingly like they did to climb out of an immediate 15-point hole and basically run away with the thing in the fourth quarter, it's impressive.
It helps when Naz Reid hits 7 of his first 9 threes.
Hey, Naz Reid, it does. It certainly does. Naz Reid has been consistently outstanding this season, and if you're getting into premature six-man-of-the-year conversations, his name's going to come up.
When was the last time a team had a had three centers this good. Centers. I'm not talking about a big man rotation. Three centers, because teams don't play three centers anymore. I'm not talking about, you know, the 60s.
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't have an answer, by the way. I'm just saying they got Gobert, Towns, and Reed. I know Towns technically plays power forward, but he's a center. He can play center.
And you know, it's just there's a really fun vibe with that team right now. And Ant came back tonight. He's been in and out over the last, I don't know, week or two with this hip issue. Banged it up again in Memphis, came out early in that game. They went there, got smoked in New Orleans. He was clearly out of rhythm. They got McDaniels. You know, McDaniels back in the mix now. He's coming off that ankle thing. But, man, like these guys, there's a chemistry. There's a confidence. The word you hear the most when you're talking to people with the Timberwolves is maturity. And the word you heard the most when you're talking to people with the Timberwolves last year was immaturity.
And what's the difference?
Well, there's one pretty significant difference. They made a trade a little bit before the deadline last year. Out goes D'Angelo Russell. In comes Mike Conley, who Chris Finch basically said is like everybody's big brother. And, you know, he's the connector. And Conley is not a rah-rah guy. He's the nicest guy in the NBA. He's got four sportsmanship awards to prove it. But he's not a big, like, listen to me, you know, that kind of guy. You know, what Finch was saying is he is a guy who has a lot of individual conversations. He is a guy who's, you know, constantly kind of in the ears of, you know, the young guys, the Anthony Edwards, the Jaden McDaniels, you know, even Kat's a vet, but he's having a lot of those individual conversations, you know, helping everybody. And there's never any kind of agenda other than, hey, let's win. Let's, you know, let's be as good as we can be. And then they basically, he's like Finch said, he didn't ask to be the leader of this team, but everybody looks for him to be that. And he's kind of taken it and he's run with it. And then, you know, we talked about this on a recent pod. Kat had a really good game tonight, 21 points, 17 rebounds. You have to give Kat credit because, let's be honest, his reputation was kind of as a empty stats diva for a while, right? That's just it's not a pleasant thing to say, but it's the truth. And he has adapted. He has adapted his game to fit with Gobert, and they actually have a really good chemistry. Boy, they were just hooting and hollering and chuckling over there in the locker room when I was talking to him today. He has adapted to Ant's ascension to superstar status, and you know, you see, how many times have we seen there be this like egotistical tug of war? That's not happening. Ant is getting it, or I'm sorry, Kat's kind of getting his stuff within the flow. He's figuring out ways, you know, he was talking tonight about figuring out ways to score and to be involved without having, you know, necessarily plays run for him. He's not a great defensive player, but he's a guy who's playing a lot of minutes for the team that's the best defense in the NBA. So he's doing his part within that. And honestly, this is the happiest I've seen Rudy in a long, long time. Rudy, when the Jazz had the best regular season record in the NBA, he wasn't this happy. There was already, you know, that was post COVID. And
he took he took four shots tonight, but he was in a good mood.
No, he is absolutely ecstatic. Last year was tough on him, but you know, he's like proud that they kind of got through that, got better as the year went on. And he's excited to have a chance to be playing for a team that's positioned itself as a contender and to kind of figure things out with this group. And there's just a really good vibe. And, you know, it is funny for all this talk about maturity. Can I tell you fellows a funny little thing going on in the Wolves locker room right now? So Anthony Edwards has given Mike Conley a nickname. The nickname is Bite Bite, B-I-T-E, B-I-T-E. Conley does not acknowledge this nickname. He does not answer to the nickname. But Ant calls him Bite Bite all the time. And I ask Conley, why does he call you Bite Bite? Conley's like, I have no idea. So I ask Ant, why do you call him Bite Bite? And he says, he looks like somebody who's ready to bite somebody. I said, Mike Conley's the nicest
Absolutely not.
I was like, that doesn't make – no, he doesn't. He's the nicest guy in the NBA. He goes,
Ant.
He said he says he is, but he looks like he's ready to bite somebody. And he's like, actually, he just reminds me of this guy from my neighborhood. Well, it gets better. Wendy, you spent a lot of time in France over the last
year or so, have you
spent
not?
Spent a lot of time overseas with aunt, too.
Okay, how's your French?
Poor.
Okay, do you know what bite means in French?
I do not, but I'm a little nervous.
Well, I don't know French either, but Rudy Gobert does. I'm going to trust him on this. Bite in French translates to penis.
I knew I should be concerned about where this
is going. Bite translates to penis. And let's just say Rudy Gobert thinks that nickname is quite humorous, but it actually has, I don't think Ant is aware of this, but apparently some French social media, somebody wore a jersey to a game, a Conley jersey that said bite on it. And apparently it got quite some play in the French social
media. That is what it, I did check it in Google Translate and Rudy didn't give you a line. So
put it that way. As I said, this team is really
Mr. Bonton.
This team is maturity is the word around the Minnesota Timberwolves, but we've got stuff like this going on.
Edwards is, look, I don't know him super duper well, but he's a pure guy. As Spo would say, he's pure.
Well, look, he went 3 for 19 tonight and he was getting into it defensively. He's making passes like it was a deserved plus 20. And I think it's a sign of that is, I mean, we'll set aside the word maturity. I think that whole conversation just sort of sums up where that's at. But it's a sign of growth from him that in a game where he isn't making shots, he found a lot of other ways to make a real impact. And I think it underscores where this team is at. And look, I think we have to look at them as a legit contender. They were more than a quarter of the way into the season. Mm-hmm. They look awesome. They have the best defense in the league by a good amount. You know, their offense has not really caught up. We'll see if they can get up into the top 10. We obviously, with how turbocharged offenses are now, if you're going to be that far behind at the offensive end, we'll see if that impacts them going down the road against real teams. But look, they went on the road against a good Dallas team today. Like you said, Luka's playing out of his mind. I know they have injuries, but yeah. Ant didn't shoot the ball well, and they go in there and they play great, and they went on the road against a good team. And they just
speaking of good natured Europeans, I heard Luka gave you an assignment tonight.
Yeah. So listen, Luka got teed up for the third straight game. That gives him 6 this season, not including one that was rescinded. The one where Chris Dunn got in his face got rescinded. The one where he famously told the ref, "Hey, what'd I do? I'm just busting his ass." But he's up to 6 that count right now. If this one indeed ends up counting, it was an awfully quick whistle. Off early, it was in first quarter. Old Jason Goble went with a quick whistle. And so between quarters, you know, Dallas is one of the few places where we're still really down low for the media seats. And Luka, who doesn't initiate many conversations with me, came over and kind of got my attention. And it was loud, so I couldn't really hear him, but he was saying something. And I got it pretty, you know, he's kind of doing a T motion and shrugging. So I got, okay. You want a pool report to ask why the hell did you get that technical foul? And that's what he wanted. And it was fair. We were going to do it anyways. I mean, obviously, Luka T's are newsworthy. If you get 16 of those suckers, you're suspended for one game. He avoided it by the hair of his chinny chin chin the last 2 years when he had 17 each year, but 2 rescinded on both occasions. And we'll see if this one's not rescinded. Luka's explanation that he was given was that you can't clap at the ref and there was no profanity and the refs.
Yeah, Jokic got thrown out the other day for, you know,
one MF-er. One MF-er is a T. That's the, come
a
on,
single
dude.
MF-er.
And I was like, dude, if, I mean, there's a lot of guys who would never finish
a Texan
game.
Last the Texan for the cursing scale. That's a little
I mean, MF-er is a generic cuss word. I call you guys worse on a daily. You haven't kicked me off this pod yet. So Curtis Blair was the crew chief. So he was given the explanation for a T that Jason Goble called. Blair says, after no call, Luka overtly gestures by hitting his hand multiple times while yelling, "Call the foul," and aggressively walking towards the official. Follow-up was, had Luka said anything prior to that technical that contributed to it being called? No, he did not. So I do think this was a quick whistle tee. I do think this is a legit candidate to be rescinded. I also, fellas, listen, this is a controversial subject. I understand it's sensitive. There's a bunch of wee little fellas out there who get sensitive when I bring this up, but I've told you, male referees need to be, there's a minimum height requirement. There has to be, this needs to happen. The short fellas have quick triggers. Okay. And I'm looking at well, maybe I'm wrong. I think he's a sub 6 footer. Sub 6 foot men should not be reffing NBA games.
This is your craziest take. I know you've said this before. This is just your craziest take.
It's not a crazy take. Watch the league.
Here's what I'll say.
Have the Napoleon complex.
Here's what I'll say. Well, that is.
I mean, hanging out with these two guys the other day, I mean, you know, I'm 5'10", 5'11", and Bontemps is like 6'4", McMahon's like 6'5". I mean,
yeah, and you get grumpy in the elevator and won't go out to dinner with us. So
it's all facts. Three facts there. Heights and grumpiness.
And you insist that when we do a live pod that your name's in the bright lights and ours is nowhere to be found. So this all applies.
I mean, some of the best officials in NBA history were under 6 foot.
Here's what I'll say. Luka Doncic should not get any technicals rescinded because he's shooting his mouth off all the time at the refs. And he should get 37 technicals a year. And he's lucky to not get half that many. So
listen, I was talking to somebody with the Nuggets today. And this kind of goes back to Luka too. Why is Jokic cussing the ref in English? Cuss at him in Serbian. He ain't gonna know what you're saying. They can't tee you up for cussing in a language they don't understand. They can't prove it's a cuss word. And remember when I did the story on how hard to officiate guys approach refs last year? Luka did say usually when he cusses at a ref, he at least tries to cuss in another language. And he knows Slovenian.
He knows a few.
Serbian and Spanish. And I said, is that it? And then he said, I know how to cuss in some other languages. Those are the first words that you always learn. So, Joker, don't cuss in English, dude. They can't tee you up if they don't understand what you're saying.
Story time. So one time back when Rasheed Wallace was playing for the Pistons, there was a back-to-back home-and-home between the Pistons and the Cavs. LeBron, first-era Cavs. Mm-hmm. And first night was in Detroit. And the two teams were major Eastern Conference rivals. These were big games. And early in the game, Rasheed Wallace came across the lane and absolutely dropped a hellacious elbow on Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Lithuanian, right on his head, opened up a huge gash on his head. Mm-hmm. I think Rasheed was ejected. He wasn't ejected. He definitely got a flagrant foul. So, you know, it was a hellacious blow. Ilgauskas needed stitches, all that stuff. So here they are playing the next night in Cleveland. And it was like, okay, he must have got injected because, you know, it was like, okay, we know who's going to give retribution to, you know, who's going to stand up for Ilgauskas. And I remember there were fans that had signs in the arena that said, Sheed must bleed.
Ooh.
So we're waiting for something to happen. The first quarter goes by, the second quarter goes by. I think it was the third quarter. Finally, Ilgauskas had enough of waiting for his teammates to do it. So at some point, he body slams Rasheed, and Rasheed goes down. It was a reasonable hit. It was not an eye for an eye because Sheed did not bleed. And so Sheed goes down, and Ilgauskas gets called for a technical. And Ilgauskas stands over the top of him and yaps at him, you know, has some stuff to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing my due diligence. I go down to the Pistons locker room after the game, and I say to Sheed, you know, well, how you feel about that? Yeah, I guess he had it, you know, he had to do it or whatever. I said, well, what did he say to you, you know, when he's standing over you? And he goes, I don't know. He was talking some other language. I have no idea what he said. So then I go down. Ilgauskas always talked very late because he had to ice his feet forever because he had foot injuries. So I said to Z, who I, you know, knew very well, I go, Sheed says that you were cursing at him in Lithuanian or some other language. He goes, no, I was talking to him in English. That's the story. Sorry.
And this story is presented to you by...
We didn't have no sponsor today. Jackson didn't tell me.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. All right. Speaking of ridiculous stories we'll be telling, I had my six-year-old, understood this event in Milwaukee very clearly.
Oh, this was glorious.
Because it was a six-year-old behavior. And he totally understood exactly what was going on.
Give me the ball.
Yeah, I don't like what's going on, and I'm taking my ball and going home. It was complete clarity.
There are so many great things about this whole ordeal.
Sure are.
I mean, here's my favorite. Maybe we can draft our favorite.
Okay. You get your favorite, then Bontemps, then me.
My favorite of the whole thing is that after Giannis storms down the hallway, recruits teammates and storms down the hallway to go get his game ball, which I think the Bucks were already in possession of.
Yes.
He, and like, not only when he doesn't get the ball, comes out and like tongue lashes Lloyd Pierce, the assistant coach of the Pacers, and Tyrese Halliburton. You better go get that ball. Like, you know,
he used the Joker word that got him ejected.
Yes. Unfortunately, some curse words might have made it into my son's ears. I won't tell my wife. All right. So after all that, you know, he gets into the post-game press conference and explains that the reason he wanted the ball was not for himself.
No.
It was for Dame Lillard.
Yes.
Because
obviously.
Because Dame Lillard had moved into the top five.
Let me read the actual quote. Let me read the actual quote. He said of the G League, or the name that's difficult to pronounce, the guy the Pacers want to get the ball for a surest point. I understand.
Oscar Tshiebwe.
There you go. That guy. Hell of a rebounder. He said, I understand. When you score your first point in the NBA, you want to have the ball or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you're talking about the guy that just skipped Kyle Korver in the all-time list. In my opinion, we should all stop what we're doing and appreciate greatness.
I have a great relationship with my fellow Nebraska, you know, he's an Omaha Creighton guy. I mean,
and had a but, heck of
you know,
an
with
NBA
all due
career.
Respect. Well, Kyle he was Giannis's Korver. Teammate. He was Giannis's teammate. But
the one-time All-Star Kyle Korver, who averaged 12.1 points per game during his All-Star season. I mean, the guy who averaged 9.7 points per game in his outstanding long career. But like, come
Kyle
on.
Kyle is my guy.
Hey,
and that was an absolutely preposterous thing for Giannis to say. It was absolutely preposterous.
They should have stopped the game with streamers falling from the freaking rafters when he passed Kyle Korver for fifth on the all-time three-pointers list. Like, what are we even – like, dude, save that for the Disney sequel. Give me a flipping break. Also, the best part – oh, my God, that was hilarious. Listen, I did not think – it's impressive to break the Bucks' all-time scoring record. Like, that's tough to do. Giannis also broke his own record for most full-of-crap thing ever said in a Bucks press conference. I thought it was going to be hard to top. There's no such thing as failure in the NBA. That hokey crap after the friggin'
last week in Vegas, we enjoyed it when he says, I'm not one to look at the stat sheet.
Oh yeah!
I mean, there was like audible guffaws.
Yes, we gotta get
quitting from us.
We gotta get polygraphs involved with these Giannis press conferences if this is going to continue. But yes, that was he was storming the locker room to honor passing Kyle Korver. Not the 64 points, not those 64 points that you chase with a dunk with 26 seconds left in a double figure game. Give me a break.
There are my two favorite things from that game. One, the Bucks have played the Pacers three times this year. Giannis Antetokounmpo is averaging 51 points a game in the three games. Two,
and they're 1-2, by the way.
They're 1-2. Two, The Pacers beat the Bucks the first two times they played, including last week when they cost everybody on the team a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And that clearly carried over to this game. I'm doing the peace sign thing, so we're getting the balloons. Balloons for Giannis for the birthday party where he didn't get his toy. And
peace sign gets balloons.
I never heard that. Is that true?
Those were the balloons that were supposed to release.
If you do a peace sign.
I haven't upgraded my Zoom. I mean,
it is a Zoom thing.
Do it again.
I'll do it again. We'll see if it comes. See if it happens again. Do that.
No balloon.
There it is.
Like I said, that's what was supposed to happen when Dame passed Korver on the.
Yes, that's it. There's the balloons. Balloons for Dame. There they are. There's the balloons. Balloons for Dame and Kyle Korver. All right. Second part. I am so happy these teams hate each other. There's a real chance that they could play probably in the first round of the playoffs. I am going to be rooting for the next, what's December 15th, April 15th will be the end of the regular season. For the next 4 months, I'm going to be rooting for that to be a first round series because it would be unbelievable. These teams do not guard each other. They don't guard anybody. Every game is going to be 135 to 125 or something. And they don't like each other. They're going to play, I think, at least a couple more times because they played in the tournament. I think they play four. They would play four times total. Now they'll play five.
I'm going to look. They play pretty soon. And it's like a, not a,
well,
they, maybe.
Well, yeah,
no, January 1st and January 3rd. And
yeah.
Okay, there so you those, go. Yes.
Yeah. So those are the other two games because they play in the division. So now that they, because they played in the tournament, they'll play five times and they're going to play. I hope they play in the playoffs because this is 12. The kind of stuff. Right. Because this is the kind of stuff that, you know, as people who are watching these games every day, like this is where rivalries
listen,
get made.
Technically,
in moments like
Oscar
this.
Tshiebwe hasn't made his first basket yet. He's made his first free throw. He got a point.
Now maybe Giannis will score 70 in the next game, and then he'll get a basket, and then we'll have another game ball controversy, and what'll happen then?
Well, okay, so I got a couple favorites that are directly related. There was the was it called a flagrant? I think Giannis got a flagrant, and then I think somebody body slammed him, I believe.
Aaron Nesmith.
Well, Aaron Nesmith, who always plays out of control, made it out of control play. And
right, but did you see Thanasis on the bench?
Hold me back.
Like, he's like start, and then
As our guy Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, said, it was very impressive that Jay Crowder held him back with three fingers.
No, it's like
that was a great line by Wob. You should go watch the Wob investigation, by the way, of this whole thing. It is classic Wob and it is perfect.
But you know how Harden used to be the master of drawing fouls by hooking a guy's arm? That's what Thanasis did on the way past Jay Crowder on the bench. He hooked his arm. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then, so that was awesome. And then the transaction that the Pacers made this morning. Did you boys see the transaction the Pacers made this morning? Yes,
I did. In fact, Woj reported it.
Bontemps, did you see this?
I was busy with other matters in Philadelphia. I did not see it, actually.
They signed MMA black belt James Johnson.
Oh, yes, James Johnson. Yes,
now,
I did see him.
He will be active on January 1st and 3rd.
Perhaps it's just a coincidence, but I dare you to storm the locker room with that dude in there. Come on down. Also, you know where the Pacers are heading next week? I'm going to see them.
You mean Dallas?
Dallas?
No, sir. No, sirree, Bob. The Indiana Pacers will be the opponent.
Oh, Memphis.
The
that's right.
That John Morant plays his first home game of the season. Do you know what occurred the last time the Indiana Pacers?
I was just going to say.
I seem
that's
to
right.
remember something
that's
happened.
That's right. There was a
there
thing.
There were some allegedly red lasers involved. There was a Jaws buddy Devontae Pax stepped onto the floor as if he intended to fight James Johnson, which I would not advise.
He's a former Grizzly, is he not? I believe he was.
He is, and Maverick for that matter, among many others. But so James Johnson, the Pacers have boosted their front court depth and security squad.
Yeah, that's what a night in Milwaukee. And by the way, Giannis, you know, scoring 64 points without making a three-pointer. That's like unheard of. The last guy to score 60 without a three-pointer was Shaq in 2000. And he shot 32 free throws.
Well, that's how you get to 64 points.
The only time the Pacers can stop Giannis is post-game.
Well, look.
Listen, who played better defense, though? The latter in Philly last year or
oh
you know,
God, I forgot
Grace
about
was in
that
the hallway.
One. Oh man,
Giannis,
I was
tell
in,
you what, Giannis, is
I
a,
was yeah,
like the guy has a penchant for some post game activity. That's
well,
for sure.
He's
I
you know,
I'd blocked out the
temper.
Philly thing.
He can
I'd
lose his temper.
blocked that out. Yeah, he certainly
Well, the
can.
thing is, this game had 8 technical fouls, a flagrant, and an ejection, and that was before the post game brouhaha.
Well, like these teams
no,
do
no,
not
no.
like
oh,
each
that's
other.
My other favorite part of this is when Rick Carlisle, good old Rick, pleasant feller that he is, he was trying to decide which was the word to best describe the situation that unfolded in the hallway. And he came up with two. Fracas? It's a good old fracas. It's a good fracas. Or melee. Those are the two that Rick came up
with. Which he mispronounced. He called it a melee or something. Like he called it a melee.
Melee.
Fracas. Melee. Melee, whatever. I think brouhaha certainly would have been appropriate. It I think it escalated past kerfuffle status.
It did not reach Donnybrook, though.
Oh, no. No. Remember when we had the Donnybrook last year, Donovan Mitchell, Dylan Brooks? That was a good one. Where the poor Grizzly security guy got his rib broken.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Chad Buchanan, the Pacers general manager, apparently suffered rib damage in this.
Oh,
by the way, speaking
sure
of Dylan Brooks, Friday night, return to Memphis.
Return to Memphis. And did you see the Grizzlies? I just actually was in Houston Wednesday night for the Grizzlies' visit to Houston. And did you see Dylan Brooks' hairstyle?
I haven't.
I have not.
He took a page out of Gerald Green, proud Houston native and former Rocket Gerald Green's book, and he had the braids with the Rockets logo in the top. I think that I don't think it was a coincidence that is when he saw his old pals with the Grizzlies.
Well, he should have put a money logo in there because, you know, he's got the last laugh. He got 80-something million dollars. So.
And he's on a team that's 3 games above 500.
That's true. That's true. Well, so you are in a short time flying to Memphis to go see Ja's media availability on Friday.
Yeah, hopefully this podcast doesn't come out before I land because I don't need a welcoming committee given my popularity in that fine city at this point.
You should have signed James Johnson before the Pacers did. ESPN should have.
You know, Rick loves me. I'm going to inquire if James Johnson will have my back when I'm there next week.
Come on, man. You know, I mean, you're fine. But what are you expecting Ja to say? He hasn't talked since.
I mean, the end of the season. Listen, Ja's capable of saying the right thing. Last time he came back from suspension, there was some defiance. I expect a pretty scripted and controlled atmosphere for this press conference. Certainly, they've had a long time to coach him up on what to say. You know what, though? It's my job to go there and ask questions and chronicle what he says, but really, who cares?
Actions over words.
Actions over words. And Zach Kleiman essentially said something along those lines after the suspension. He's something very similar to that. So I expect him to be contrite because I think he understands that that's what the commissioner wants to hear publicly. But we'll see.
It's not a lot different than the Draymond situation. Let's see some change before I just assume there's going to be some change. Actions over words, as we like to say.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get off to that airport. There could be some other stuff, but I'm going to just cut it short because I know you need your beauty rest.
And I mean, I'm going to go take at least a little nap.
All right.
Well, what else you want to hit on? Well, I mean, what are you all fired up about?
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, there's some other stuff.
We didn't talk about the big three making their debut finally and losing. We didn't talk about – what else did we talk about?
Beal's going to take a little bit of time, I think, to get ramped up. I'm not gonna hot take too much on the old Suns quite yet.
The Suns losing that game to the Nets was amusing, though, given the way that all played out. For them to lose their first game with everybody on the court against the Nets was pretty funny.
Tell you what, man, is there a hotter team than the Chicago Bulls? My goodness.
The Nets have won 7-9.
Oh, listen, you were talking about breaking up the Bulls. They look like a juggernaut to me. Beat the Heat. Come on now. What's the record since
the Ewing theory is going to become the Levine corollary soon.
Well, the thing about it is the Bulls, you know, not only they're winning, but, you know, Alex Caruso has been missing games. He came back and played 5 minutes.
Yeah, he got hurt in the first quarter tonight.
And re-injured his ankle. And they still won. Now the Heat were playing the second night of back-to-back. Bam Adebayo is still out. But, hey, Jimmy Butler played in that game. So,
by the way, Bam Adebayo's just been out for like 3 weeks. It's kind of a problem. And Evan Mobley has just been out for a while for Cleveland. They've had a rough week, losing to Orlando and Boston twice. Like a couple pretty significant big man injuries in the East. We'll see where those guys are at, but not great that they're just out.
I said the Nets have won 7-9. They actually lost to the Nuggets tonight. And Jokic did not get ejected. He, in fact, had a triple-double. So I guess 7 out of 10. But still, it was a good show.
Second night of a back-to-back. That's a definition of a schedule.
In Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I kind of knew where that was headed. But all right, get off to that airport, McMahon. And we look forward to some content coming on the ESPN platforms from Bon Temps. And
right.
Thank you to Jackson for staying up late. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.